chapter 48. On that same hour of the next day, the feast was still in progress and showed no signs of slackening. Bryony sat beneath her favourite old apple tree in the orchard with Barlaam and Abbess Merriam. The Red Wall recorder had brought quill and parchments to document the mousemaid's story. She told it frankly, leaving out no detail. Abbess Merriam sat in silence until the recital was at an end. The calm, kind eyes of Redwall's Abbess met those of the mousemaid.
So Bella and I were wrong. There was some good in Vale, even though it cost him his life to show it. Can you accept my apologies, Bryony?
The mousemaid kissed her mother Abbess's paw respectfully.
There is no need for your apology. Vale was bad. I know that now. Bella was right. Some creatures cannot help being the way they are. In all the time we knew him, Vale did not perform one act of kindness to any living creature. I have thought a great deal since he died and wondered if he would have saved me if he knew his father was really going to throw that javelin. I couldn't help loving him because that's the way I am. But I know that the world is a better place without Vale or Swart bringing death and misery to it.
Merriam cast a knowing glance at Barlaam before she replied.
You have grown, Bryony. Your courage and compassion were never in doubt, but you have returned to us wiser and more sensible, far more mature than I ever was at your age. What do you think, Barlaam?
The recorder finished rolling his scrolls.
I think in the seasons to come, Redwall will not lack a good Mother Abbess. That is, of course, Mum, when you feel the need to pass on your title.
Merriam placed a paw around Bryony's shoulders.
I could think of no one better to be Mother of Redwall some day.
Bryony could scarce believe what she was hearing.
Me? Abbess of Redwall?
The same as Toggart will be made formal when the time comes. You have earned both admiration and respect from many elders.
Myrtle the Hogwife trundled a fresh cart laden with hot scones, cheese and salad vegetables from the kitchens to the dining tables of Great Hall. Most of the feasters were resting or playing with the young ones, but the die-hard core of trencher beasts remained.
Ain't you lot finished yet?
Myrtle groaned. Rockleg smiled winningly at her.
Not as long as there's such splendid food being served.
Myrtle sighed, then sat down with them.
Then I might as well join you. Pass the mint tea, please.
Duddlepole Spike pushed it across obligingly.
Mint tea. There you are, my chubby-cheeked chaff wobbler. It almost makes me wish I was a landlubber dining in this wonderful abbey. What say you, my little larkspur?
Tutty Polespike looked up from a raspberry crumble.
Lands and lakes, 'tis all very nice, but we've been waterbeasts too long to change our ways now.
Redfall broke the crust of a pasty, letting the gravy spill out.
What about you, Longshanks? You thinking of changing your ways?
Jod cut himself a slice of fruitcake, a silly grin all over his face as he twisted his ears at Fleet Run.
Was that? Oh, rather. I'd sooner be a square any time than a hill.
Fleet Run giggled.
Don't you mean you'd sooner be a hare than a squirrel, you great daffer? Fancy being called a squirrel hare. Daft name.
Jod bolted the fruitcake reflectively.
Oh, I don't know, really. I don't mind daft names as long as a chap has a good, sensible real name. By the way, Fleet Run, I never told you my real name, did I? Well, it's actually Wiltherio Longbearer, Sackfath Toxifola, Federic...
Outside on the sunlit lawns of Redwall Abbey, the happy laughter of old and young alike rose to mingle with high lark song on the warm autumn afternoon.
Ha 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 ha